This is Anarchopreneur, episode number 37, and this one's all about how to get more by giving more. All right, here we go.
Government is inefficient and should be dissolved.
What government should actually do is just leave people alone to buy and sell freely among themselves. If they just leave self-interested traders to compete with one another, markets are guided to positive outcomes as if by an invisible hand.
It's free markets that are moral because you only succeed if you meet the needs and wants of other people.
One of the hard things for people to understand is that the more you try to control an economy, the more quickly it falls apart.
Capitalism. God's way of determining who is smart and who is poor.
What up, Free Market Squad, and the place to be. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Anarchopreneur, the Nathan Frazier Show. I am, of course, your host with the Hero Complex, Nathan Frazier. You, more importantly, you are the Free Market Squad, and this is the only podcast in the universe dedicated to helping you be your own boss, both politically and professionally. And we are broadcasting on the Truth Frequency Radio Network, UCY.TV, LRN.FM. And of course, you can pick up more episodes like this over at NathanFrazierShow.com. And I'm not going to waste any time. I'm just going to jump right into it this week with this week's Live Free FM Focus on Freedom. So here's where I lose listeners. I probably have the longest running, slowest growing podcast in the world because, well, as they say, never mix business with politics. And the backbone of what I do is exactly that, mixing business with politics. I'm going to start off the show addressing something that's very taboo in some circles and very inflammatory. And, I'm going to mix business with politics. So I'm going to be talking today about the right to choose association and the right to discriminate. And I know that I'm going to lose some listeners both on the left and the right with this episode, but I'm okay with that because I feel like I need to get this out there and let you guys know where I stand. So before we start, I'm going to start off by clarifying this. I have white colored skin, or as Band-Aid would say, I have skin colored skin, or skin toned skin. but if you would look at me, you would probably just look at me and say, oh, Nathan is white. But I come from a very multicultural background. So my grandpa on my mom's side is half Scottish and half Native American. He's Sault Ste. Marie, Chippewa Native American, and he is very dark-skinned. Most of my aunts and uncles are very dark-skinned as well. In fact, most of my family, you can tell just by looking at them that there's a lot of Native American in our blood. And so I grew up with that as with the Native American mentality is like a heavy influence in my way of thinking. Also on my dad's side of the family, is all Mexicans. Like, we grew up in California and, my dad, his last name was Palma, and all of that side of our family is Hispanic. And so I grew up in majority of poor neighborhoods, Section 8, public housing, mostly Mexicans. Probably 80% of the kids that I grew up with were Mexicans. And then about an equal ratio of black kids and white kids. And so most of my childhood, I was actually the minority, being a white kid or being a kid that looked white in the middle of a bunch of brown kids and a couple of black kids as well. But that's kind of how I identified for most of my life. I grew up in a Mexican family with a bunch of Mexicans. And so I kind of just grew up in that culture. And I would say if I had to pick what culture I most identified, it would probably be Hispanic culture. So I am, even though I'm a white kid, I definitely am not a white nationalist. I'm definitely not a race realist. Although I do see some of the arguments in some of the race realist conversation that's going out there, I also disagree with a lot of it. I think a lot of the conversation in the race realist movement is garbage. And I think the main reason why I believe that is because most of the white people that I've known are just as dumb as any other race. Some of them even more so. And also this idea, I hear this all the time, like tossed around, oh, white people are scientifically smarter than other races of people. And black people are scientifically not as smart. They didn't evolve to be as smart as white people did and blah, blah, blah. And I know this for a personal fact of the mix of different people that I've known. No, I could not say honestly that black people that I've known on average have been dumber than white people. And one of the things that always bugs me about that concept is like, if black people were so dumb and just naturally dumber than white people, then why do we need to spend billions of tax dollars holding them down with negative imagery through their entertainment and with programs like COINTELPRO? Like, if black people were just dumber than white people, there'd be no need to dumb them down. So, and just in general, also, that's kind of how I feel about humanity as a whole. Like, if humans were so stupid that we couldn't be trusted to be free and we couldn't be trusted to do our own thing and own and govern ourselves, the government and the media and the public education system wouldn't have to spend so much money to, like, shackle our brains. I think overall, human beings, black people, white people, brown people as a whole, I think we're a lot more intelligent than what most people give us credit for. But I do think that there are people that are invested in the status quo that do a lot to hinder and cripple the way that we think. And I think this is true with black people as well. I don't think that black people are inherently stupider than white people or dumber than white people. That's one of the race realist arguments that just does not pan out with my experience in life. Also, this whole idea of like Western culture and all these other races of people invading Western culture. Having grown up in the poor neighborhoods that I've grown up in and having worked years of my life in retail, I can tell you that if you think whites, quote unquote, are any less of a threat to Western culture than any other race is, you're lying to yourself. Most of the white people out there are just as big of a threat to, quote unquote, Western culture as any other race is. That being said, though, I am going to talk about the right to choose association and the right to discriminate. And I'm going to take a position that most people are going to be offended by. Imagine that. So, business owners and the right to discriminate. This is something that is a huge topic of debate right now in the media. The most common example that we hear tossed around is, should bakers be forced to bake a cake for a gay wedding? Even like libertarian presidential candidates like Gary Johnson say, yes, bakers should be forced to bake cakes for gay weddings. And my part-time job is a cake decorator. And I don't think that bakers should be forced to bake cakes for anybody that they don't agree with. I believe that as a business owner, you should absolutely have the right to choose who you serve, even if those choices are based off of ignorance. I mean, freedom is sometimes dangerous. Sometimes people do the wrong thing with freedom. Does that mean they shouldn't be free? No, unless they use their freedom to infringe on somebody else's freedom, then you should be free to choose whatever you want to choose. And that includes who you associate with. Now, would I turn down a gay couple getting their cake made? Absolutely not. I would totally do a wedding cake for a gay couple. Would I do a cake for somebody who is Islamic looking. Yeah, absolutely. Would I do a cake for a redneck person with a rebel flag on it? Yeah, absolutely. I don't care. It's give me that money. I'm a greedy capitalist. So pretty much across the board, I wouldn't choose to discriminate unless somebody just gave me a bad attitude. And I do that all the time when customers are just rude to me, when I can tell a customer's not going to be happy with what they get no matter what. I'll just tell them, no, I'm not going to do your cake. One of the girls can do it for you or you can go somewhere else, but I'm not going to mess with you. But that's where I draw the line. That's where I discriminate. I don't discriminate on skin color. I don't discriminate on religion or belief system or sexual orientation, but I will discriminate on attitude. But it doesn't just stop there. I mean, when it comes to business and discrimination, we also have like, the whole idea of like merit versus quotas. We have, you have to hire so many women or you have to hire so many people of color. I hate that term, people of color. In my opinion, it's like, well, there's a lot more going on with this person than just what their color is. You're going to boil it down to this is a person of color. Like this is a human being with so much potential. Oh no, it's just a person of color. But the idea that you have to hire people, and a lot of times if two people are going for the same job and one of them is definitely more qualified, but the other one happens to meet a quota and you're legally forced to hire the one that meets the quota instead of the one that meets the merit or meets the qualifications for the job. I think that's wrong. As a business owner, you should be able to hire who's going to best fit the needs of the job, not who's going to best fit the needs of the quota. And sometimes the quota and the needs of the job are in line with each other and they sync up, but sometimes not. And when it's not, you shouldn't be forced to hire somebody just because they meet a quota. I think that that's ridiculous. And here's the thing is like, all of these quotas are to force benefit, quote unquote, minorities. And like I said, growing up where I grew up, I was the minority. But to me, it's and I don't like calling it reverse racism. I just call it racism done towards somebody else. Like racism towards white people is racism just as much as racism towards black people is racism. And both of them are wrong, but I don't think that either of them should be illegal. I definitely wouldn't want to associate with people who are racist. I wouldn't want to do business with people who are racist. But do I want to legally punish people for being idiots about the way that they look at the world? No, I don't. I can financially punish them, but do I want to legally punish them? No, I don't. What I'm talking about in specific or in particular is like, okay, so in dating, I have a particular type of girl that I'm attracted to. I'm attracted to Latina girls. I love Hispanic or Puerto Rican girls, girls that have olive colored skin and nice big round booties. That's my weakness. So if the CIA is trying to plant a girl in my organization, your best bet is to send a very attractive Latina girl. In dating, I definitely discriminate. Now, I've dated some white girls. Not really my thing. My main thing is Hispanic looking girls. I don't know why. Am I racist? Maybe in that aspect, maybe so. But I have preferences and I discriminate against other types of girls. I also discriminate against men. I don't date men. It's just not my thing. It seems painful. But where we're allowed to discriminate in our personal lives, should we be allowed to discriminate in quasi-personal, quasi-business life? Like if I make a bunch of extra money and I want to make a donation, should I be able to discriminate who my donation goes to? Well, some people would say in certain areas, yes. Like if there's a college fund for people based off of their skin color, if that skin color happens to be brown, then yes, you should be allowed to discriminate. But if that skin color happens to be white, then all of a sudden, no, you shouldn't be able to discriminate. Like you can donate to a college fund and say, I only want this money going to help black kids out or brown kids out. But you can't do it and say, I only want this money going to help white kids out, which I think is ridiculous. Like, if it's your money, you should be able to do whatever you want. Yes, you should be able to donate to only help out black kids. Or yes, you should be able to donate to only help out brown kids. Or yes, if you really want to, you should be able to donate to only help out white kids. I, you know, it's your money. I'm not going to tell you what you should be able to do with it. And nobody else has the right to tell you what you should be able to do with it either. Churches. Should churches be able to discriminate based off of religion? Should you be able to say, hey, this is a Baptist church? If you're Catholic and you want to come join us, that's fine. But does that mean I'm going to give you equal say at the podium? You shouldn't have to. Or a Muslim. If a Muslim wants to come into a Baptist or a Catholic church and start preaching their rhetoric, should the people of the church be allowed to say, hey, this isn't the place for that? Yeah, absolutely. I'm not religious, but if people want to get together and share their ideas and they want to exclude other ideas, fine. I don't think it's the smartest thing to do. I don't think that it helps grow the conversation. I think it helps people get stuck in an echo chamber, but hey, go ahead. When it comes to like racial segregation, we've actually been seeing kind of like a rise of racial segregation in colleges. Hampshire College and University of Connecticut recently have reintroduced segregated student housing as a way to protect people of color. I hate that term, people of color, but I'm going to keep using it because it's like the catch buzz word or whatever. Also, recently, I think in California, there was an ad for a roommate. Some people were looking for a roommate, and they didn't want a white person. They said no non-people of color can apply for this room. If you flipped it around and some white kids said, hey, we don't want a black roommate, people would be up in arms. But flip it back to the way it happened, and they say, hey, no white people. And people are like, okay, whatever. So, and then you have people like in the alt-right movement that are like, oh, that's racist. And they're right. But should people have the right to choose on both counts? If white people said, hey, I don't feel comfortable with a black roommate, yeah, you're probably ignorant for that. You could probably learn some stuff by having a black roommate. But if you want to make that decision, that's fine. And same thing with these people, the non-people of color ad. People saying, we don't want a white roommate. Do they have the right to choose that? Yeah, absolutely. Could they probably learn some stuff by having a white roommate? Would it expand their mind to be able to see things and not be able to demonize white people the way that they are that leads them to that ad in the first place? Yeah, it'd probably be beneficial for them to have a white roommate. But hey, do they have the right to choose? Yes, they do. Another thing that we've been seeing on campuses lately is like safe spaces where they have meetings for people of color where white people aren't allowed, and that's okay. And I agree that that's okay. And a lot of white people get up in arms about it. I don't really. But then at the same time, like if it was white people doing the exact same thing, having a meeting where no black people were allowed to come, people would be freaking out. So a huge double standard when it comes to the right to discriminate. You only have the right to discriminate if you're a specific color. Like, you're only allowed to be racist against people's color if you're a specific color. Like, that's pretty racist right there, just that main core concept. But do people have the right to do that on both ends of the thing, of the color spectrum? Yes, I believe that they do. So that's where I believe. That's what I believe. I believe you have the right to make stupid decisions about who you associate with, and I'm not going to try and stop you. Should Boy Scouts be allowed to say only boys? Yeah. If they want to have an organization where they only have boys, that's fine. Same thing with Girl Scouts. If Girl Scouts say we only want to have girls, they should absolutely have the right. Back to business again. Should Hooters be able to discriminate based off of who they hire? Yeah, absolutely. That's their gimmick. That's their unique selling proposition. They should absolutely be able to say, we're not going to have big, fat, ugly, dykey-looking lesbians work for us. That's what makes business attractive? Should gay bars be able to say we only serve gays and lesbians? Yes. And should a hetero bar be able to say the same thing about heterosexuals? Yes. It's got to cut both ways, folks. You can't say one group of people have the right to discriminate and another group of people don't have the right to discriminate. That's the main point. Now, does all of this become silly and eventually impossible to enforce? Yeah. I don't, what are you going to be like? Oh, we're a gay bar. We only serve gays. Well, I'm a gay. I don't believe you. I think you're straight. You need to go have gay sex right there on the end of the bar in order for me to serve you. Like, it gets a little bit crazy. I don't know how, to me, it's just kind of like, I wouldn't run my business that way. But if you want to run your business that way, that's fine. Should a community be able to choose and enforce segregation? I would say yes, but only in as much or only as so much as every single individual in the community agrees. So if you've got like a white or a black only neighborhood and one of the people in that neighborhood decides to sell, say you got a neighborhood where it's all black people and they say, this is a blacks only neighborhood. And one of the black homeowners decides, you know what? My son's girlfriend is white and they're on hard times and I'm going to let him move back in. And now we're going to have a white girl in the neighborhood. Does the community have the right now to say, no, she's white, she can't move here? Absolutely not. Same thing, a whites only neighborhood. And one of the homeowners decides, you know what? My daughter is dating a black guy and he's actually a really decent dude. And I'm going to let him, they fell on some hard times. I'm going to let him move in. Does the community have the right to say, no, we're a whites only community? No, the homeowner, the individual right supersedes the group think. Am I for borders and helicopter rides? Absolutely not. Well, helicopter rides, people are like, what's that mean? Inside joke. Do you have the right to defend your property and your livelihood from invaders? Yes, absolutely. But do you have the right to forcibly push those ideas of defense on your neighbors? No, I don't think so. Do I agree with the right to discriminate in business and real life? Yes. Do I always think that it has positive outcomes? No. I think actually more often than not, when you discriminate, there's negative outcomes. I think more often than not, there's more bad that comes out of it than good. But sometimes, you know, if you want to have a like a secret society and you only want initiated people to join, you feel like you're throwing swine or pearls before swine and you don't want to have any swine in your meeting, go ahead and do it. Now all the conspiracy theorists are free. Now I just lost the last little bit of conspiracy theorists that listen to the show. So basically it comes down to this. Do I believe in your right to discriminate? Yes. Will I fight for your right to discriminate? Yes. Do I think that it's the right thing to do? More often than not, no. But will I defend your right to make that choice for yourself? Absolutely. And the reason why is this. Forced desegregation in schools causes racism. They've proven it over and over again. Forced multiculturalism. God, that was a tongue twister. Forced multiculturalism causes racism. Look at Europe. Look at what's going on over there, and look at the rise in white nationalism and white supremacy that's going on because of that whole ordeal. Forcing people to embrace other foreign things to them is not the way to make it be adopted. We've talked about this before on how to sell your ideas. When you force your ideas down somebody else's throat, you're going to get resistance. You have to, if you want somebody to buy into an idea, they have to come to it themselves. They have to own the idea. They have to feel that the idea is theirs. Otherwise, it's going to be an idea that's forced upon them and they're going to fight back against it. So, do you have the right to discriminate? Absolutely. Is it the right thing to do? More often than not, I'm going to say no. But am I going to force you to see things the way that I see things? Absolutely not. All right. Man, that was a long rant. And I've got two listeners still tuned in. So to you two listeners, I would like to say thank you for sticking around. And we're going to talk, we're going to just kind of clunkily transition into the next segment of this week's show, which is Nathan Fraser Land. We're going to be talking today about, a couple of things that I've got coming up in the Free Market Squad and a couple of things that I've got going on in my own life right now. So this week, I might have landed an ongoing freelancing writing gig for a bunch of 6- and 7-figure companies. I'm still waiting to hear back on that, but I did get a call from somebody that's looking for a freelance copywriter, and it might happen, might not. We'll see. I'll keep you posted. But I got the potential from the Liberty on the Rocks meeting that I did last week, or the speaking engagement I did the other week, from networking at that event. Somebody gave my information to somebody else and I was contacted. And so potentially that will turn into another source of income for me. And it was just kind of a lesson on networking and the importance of it. And actually in the very near future, Daryl Becker, who's a longtime friend of the show and also one of the kind of leaders over in the Free Market Squad community, Daryl's going to be coming on the show probably next week, maybe the week after that, to talk about networking and how you can use networking in your local area to make contacts and get business with clients, how you can use networking to grow your local business, because that's what Daryl does. So look forward to that. When we come back from the break, I'm going to talk a little bit more about what's going on in Nathan Fraser Land, and then we're going to go into the Free Market Squad Marketing Masterclass. I don't know if that's what I'm going to keep calling it, but either way, we'll be right back on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere.
Free minds, free markets, free people.
You're a busy podcaster, not a web designer, but you know, without a professional website to send your guests and listeners to, your podcast will not get the attention it deserves. Having a great website is crucial to the success of your podcast, but it can also be a major headache, not to mention a drain on your wallet. You need a service that's easy to use, gives you a great website, and hosts your podcast files all in one place. You need BlastPod from Podcast Blastoff. Far from just another WordPress platform, BlastPod was built from the ground up by podcasters for podcasters. BlastPod is your all-in-one podcasting solution that gives you the ability to podcast like the pros. Sign up now and get access to your BlastPod website today. Putting the power of podcasting into the hands of the people. PodcastBlastoff.com.
Let me ask you something. Haven't you ever been tempted to just break the rules and finally
get back at my big faceless corporate bosses for making me feel so small and insignificant?
Look at this Marge, $58 and all of it profit. I'm the smartest businessman in the world.
Government can print money, but it's the entrepreneurs who really make the money.
Why don't you guys just make your cars cleaner and nicer and try to be better to your customers so that you can compete with Handy Car's popularity in the marketplace?
Shut up and take my money.
And we're back. This is the Nathan Fraser Show. I am, of course, Nathan Fraser. You are the Free Market Squad. Thank you to the two listeners that are still here. I do appreciate it. Much love. And the next half of the show will not be nearly as divisive as the first half of the show was. So to continue the Nathan Fraser Land segment of the show, I'm just going to wrap up real quick. So another a weekly win that we had this week is we got a new customer for BlastPod, which is awesome, and I can't wait to see what happens with that. Crystal is her name, and as soon as she's got her podcast up, I will be sharing it with you guys. And I'll let you know about it so you can go check it out. And one of the things that I'm thinking I'm going to start doing going forward is if you're on my Podcast Blastoff email newsletter, I think at the end of each week, I'm going to start letting you know about all of the new podcasts that were posted. We've got like five different accounts that are putting out podcasts now. So I think I'm going to start curating or collecting all of the different podcasts that have been produced on our network each week and sending those out to people so you can check those out. And that'll help kind of, that'll help promote and let people know about the other podcasters that are out there. So that's something I'm probably going to start doing. I will definitely do that for Crystal once she gets her podcast up and going. Also, something I'm working on for the business is I'm working on turning the pre-launch course, the podcast pre-launch success secrets course. I'm going to turn that into a webinar. Right now it's an audio course, but I'm going to turn that into a webinar. And then once the webinar has gone live a couple of times, I'm going to take the best cut of the webinar and chop it up and turn it into a actual video course for people. So that will be coming soon as well. Well, maybe not so soon, but making webinars is not easy, folks. You know, I was going to talk about Facebook ads and kind of explain the sales funnel that I'm using on Facebook right now. Maybe I'll go into that next week though, because I'm kind of running short on time. And so maybe that'll be something that you have to look forward to next week. Lastly though, in the last part of Nathan Fraser Land, I want to talk about some things that I'm doing with the Free Market Squad group, some things that I'm excited about. So on Thursdays now, I'm going to start doing, actually, I already started doing AMA videos, Ask Me Anything videos. So on Thursday mornings, I post in the Free Market Squad group over there on Facebook. I post a notice for Ask Me Anything. And then on Thursday evenings, I'm doing live Facebook videos. I think Facebook Live only allows you to do a half hour at a time. So I'm keeping them to a half hour. But basically, I'll post in the morning. If you have any questions or anything that you want to ask me or anything that you want me to talk about, put it in the comments. And then during the live video, if you want to show up and ask me questions during the live video as well, I'm happy to answer any kind of questions on the spot also. And last week was awesome. I got a bunch of questions. We had a huge turnout for the video, and a lot of really great content was able to be produced between myself and the Free Market Squad. So if you want to get, in on that, if you want to be part of those videos, you need to join the Free Market Squad. And it's easy to join the Free Market Squad, actually. Just if you're on Facebook, look up Free Market Squad, or you can go to freemarketsquad.com and you can sign up to join up there. And it's free. It doesn't cost any money to be a part of it. And you get access to a large group of liberty-minded entrepreneurs who are all about helping each other. And for me, I spend most of my time when I'm on Facebook in the Free Market Squad group. So for me, it's kind of one of those, it's a community that I love. I love the people there. Also, and last thing I was going to say is those videos, you can't see them unless you're in the Free Market Squad. They're exclusive to that community. The community is closed, so you can't see the videos just by going to the group and viewing it unless you have joined the community. So if you want to see those videos, make sure that you're getting over there and joining the community. Last thing is, we also on Saturdays, we do Self-Promotion Saturday in the Free Market Squad, where basically I encourage people to promote themselves, let other people know what it is that they've got going on. People post their newest podcast episodes. People post links to their sales pages. They post what types of services and products they provide for people. So I'm going to start taking, randomly, I'm going to start taking one of the Self-Promotion Saturday posts, and I'm going to start giving free promotion to one of the people that posts on there each week. I'm going to start taking them and giving them free promotion on the show. So each week I'm going to pick a winner and I'm going to promote them at the beginning of this second half of the Nathan Fraser Show, the Anarchopreneur segment. So If you want exposure for your business, if you're a fan of the show and you want other fans of the show to hear about your business, and you want your message to be heard on Truth Frequency Radio Network, UCY, and LRN. Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Truth Frequency Radio Network probably has tens of thousands of listeners between their online stream and the AM and FM affiliates that pick up the shows. UCY.TV also has a very large listening audience, and LRN.FM is probably like the number one libertarian and free market type radio broadcast out there. You're probably not going to find a bigger group of liberty loving people than the listenership over at LRN.FM. And so between those three networks and all of the AM and FM affiliates, potentially tens of thousands of people could hear your message. And if you want to take advantage of this, if you want to possibly get your message heard by that many people, you need to get over to the Free Market Squad group, and you need to start participating in Self-Promotion Saturday, and I can help you make it possible. I can get your message in front of, or I guess in the ears of, possibly tens of thousands of people. So this week is going to be the first week that I've done this, and this week I'm actually getting, this is no cronyism at all. I took everybody that posted in the Free Market Squad Self-Promotion Saturday this week, and what I'm going to do going forward and what I did this week is I took the amount of people that were there, I put that number in a random number generator online, and I spit out a number, and the number that came out, I went through alphabetically and found the person that fell on that number alphabetically, and it was actually my aunt, my aunt Jenny, who runs a business called On-Site Exam. And actually, my aunt, I should probably say this, my aunt is the reason that I actually started taking entrepreneurialism seriously. A few years ago, when we were still just building websites for people, my aunt told me, she saw what I was doing, and she said, "Look, Nathan, you really need to read this book called The E-Myth. I see you spinning a lot of wheels. I see you doing a lot of extra work that you don't need to be doing. Check out this book and think about it and apply what's in the book to what you're doing." And so I read that book, and it definitely changed the way I looked at a lot of the stuff that I was doing, and it kind of ignited the entrepreneurial buzz or flame in me. And so, yeah, I probably wouldn't even be doing this show if it wasn't for my Aunt Jenny, but that has nothing to do with the fact that she was randomly picked this week. So I'm just going to plug her website. She does onsiteexam.com, basically, and this is a local business. So if you're in the Northern Colorado area, what she does is she helps serve businesses that rely on people with CDL, commercial driver's licenses. To have a CDL, you have to meet certain health compliance issues. Sleep apnea, I think, is one of the things that a lot of truck drivers deal with. There's a couple other health issues that you have to make sure that you're in good health in order to keep your CDL license. And typically, when they want to make sure that they're in compliance, you have to send your truck drivers to the doctors. They have to sit in waiting rooms. They have to, it costs a lot of money. It costs a lot of time. It's very frustrating. So what she does, she's a registered nurse. She actually has an on-site examination clinic where she can drive it to your location, and she can just get everybody on site. They don't have to leave the business. They can just clock in, walk across the street, and get their examinations done. Help save businesses time, help save their drivers time and money. It's a lot less frustrating than trips to the doctor's office. So if you're in the Northern Colorado area and you need something like this, you need a service like this, check out Jenny's website over at onsiteexam.com. All right. This week, in the Anarchopreneur segment of the Nathan Fraser Show, we're going to be talking about giving and receiving value. So as I mentioned earlier in the show, I grew up in a very low-income household. I grew up very poor. And I grew up being told and believing that society owed me, that I had a right to be taken care of by society. And one of the things that it set me up for a disadvantage, because it made me believe that hard work and giving to people was not the answer to success or to being taken care of. It made me believe that I was owed, and that other people that were successful, they were successful because they were greedy, and they just needed to share all of the stuff that they had with people like me, and that was the best way to have a good life, was to take from those greedy corporate business owners and force them to share with people like me. And without getting into too many details, I'm just going to say this led me to, in my younger days, participate in some pretty heinous things when it comes to other people's property. The reason why I justify doing some of these things is that I hated wealthy and successful people. I was literally taught to hate wealth and to hate success. Even though I wished that I was wealthy and successful, I really despised and thought the worst about wealthy and successful people. And I wanted wealthy and successful people to be punished for my financial gain. It's a huge paradox. I'll be the first to admit this. I was a huge leftist anarchist for a long time in my mindset. And then 9/11 happened. And when 9/11 happened, I started seeing like this Orwellian shift in society, cameras going up everywhere, invasions of privacy. And I realized that some of my own actions, some of the things that I was participating in, were causing the fear in society that was leading to people accepting these kind of draconian Orwellian pieces of legislature and changes in society. I started realizing that some of the things that I was doing at night were causing the police and governmental actions that I was complaining about during the day. And so at that time, I was probably around 23, I believe, I started rethinking a lot of the way that I saw the world, because I started realizing that a lot of the things I was complaining about, I was also contributing to. And so I started really looking at things differently. And in that process, we started looking, me and my little brother, we had a rap group at the time, and we had like a startup record label, and we kind of shifted what our music was about, and we started becoming a little bit more political, still kind of on the left side of things, but we started attending different like town hall meetings about 9/11 and about the Patriot Act and stuff like that. And we started coming across these people that were called libertarians, and I agreed with them on a lot of stuff. And then they started kind of making me think about things that I hadn't thought about, or making me think about things from a different point of view that I hadn't thought about. And a lot of the people that were on the right, quote unquote, or were like right-leaning libertarians, and I was at the time a very left-leaning anarchist, a lot of the stuff that they started telling us, you know, made sense. And the ideas that they were kind of sharing with us made a lot of sense. And at this time, like I said, we had our own little record label going on. And I, at this time, was just starting my very first t-shirt business. So this was like second business that I ever owned. And made me start looking at things differently. I remember one of the guys that was one of the guys that we worked for at the reason I started a t-shirt business is because I worked at a t-shirt printing shop, and one of the guys, John, he was one of the managers, and he would share these ideas with us that I thought were blasphemy at the time. He, when it came to like knockoff shirts, he would tell us about, he used to work at a sweatshop, and he was, it was like in Central America or somewhere, like, I can't remember exactly where it was at, but he used to work at a sweatshop, and that's how he got into the t-shirt business, is he started off by working in a sweatshop. And he talked about how they would make Adidas and Nike knockoff shirts. And I was like, well, that's just crazy. I don't want people knocking off my shirt designs. And he was like, well, you should. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? I should. He's like, well, it's just free publicity for you. Like, Nike and Adidas never really cared about the fact that we did it. They knew we did it. They knew that all it did was create more brand recognition for them. And for the people that didn't want to buy the knockoffs, they would see the brand and they would want to go buy the actual shirts. And for the people that wanted to be able to pimp the brand but couldn't afford it, they had the knockoff version that they could buy. So pretty much overall, it was just free advertising for them. So they never really came down on us. And I was, that was like one of those areas, or that was one of the times where I really started questioning all of the stuff that I had been taught about intellectual property. And like I said, at the time we owned a record label, so I was very much into IP. That was one of the very first times I ever started getting passive streams of income. And we were selling our CDs and we were starting to get online sales through, I don't think iTunes was up and running yet, but we were making online sales of some of our music. So I was like, well, I don't want people stealing my intellectual property. And he really made me rethink that. And his position on sweatshops also made me rethink that, because I was like, well, sweatshops are bull crap and we need to shut those down. And because he would tell me how he was glad that he was able to work in a sweatshop. He was like, well, look, dude, where I lived at, that was like the best, the other alternative to working in a sweatshop was digging through garbage. And I'd never thought about that. I'd never thought about, we always get told about how horrible it is to work in a sweatshop. He said, yeah, it wasn't the best. It wasn't as good as working in a t-shirt shop in America. But compared to what the alternative was, it was way better. And because that alternative was there, because the sweatshop was there, I was able to learn this skill and I was able to come over here and get a better job doing it. If the sweatshop didn't exist, that bottom rung of the ladder would never have been there for me, and I never would have been able to make it to where I'm at now. So huge digression, but John definitely made me rethink a lot of my positions at the time. And so I started at that point in my life, I started moving away from leftist ideas. I was still pretty anti-big business, and I was definitely anti-marketing. Believe it or not, there was a part of my life where I really hated and despised marketing. But I started at that point in my life, I started being also more about giving than taking. I started thinking, I've taken a lot. I've stolen a lot. I've been the recipient of a lot of stolen goods, and maybe I should try and give back to society. And that was like a huge shift in my mindset, because up until that time I had been like brainwashed into believing that other people deserved to be stolen from and that I deserved to get those stolen goods. And now all of a sudden I was looking at it different and feeling bad for all of the stolen goods that I had had. And when I say stolen goods, I'm talking about like redistributed wealth through taxation. I started feeling bad about that. And I started saying, you know what? I need to be a more giving person. I need to start giving because I've taken a lot. I started realizing that that mindset was holding me back. And I still see it holding most people back, this idea of what can I get rather than what can I give? And even not people on welfare, just in general, even in like the business realm, I see a lot of people that are in it for what they can get rather than what they can give. And I feel like that holds people back. A lot of us, we want to make money off of what we do. We want to make money off of our passion, but we don't stop and ask, what can I do to serve other people's needs? Me at the time, I wanted to make bank selling t-shirts and CDs, and I wasn't really in it for my customers. I was in it for me. The reason I started up those two businesses is because, well, the t-shirts, I wanted to make money off of, the CDs, I just wanted to get my message out there, but it was about me though. I want to make money and I want to get my message out there. It was about me. It wasn't about my customers. It wasn't about my audience. It was about what's in it for me. And from there, I've learned that success comes from where you can find an overlap between your passion and where you're most capable of serving other people. You need both. You need to have passion and you need to have the understanding of I'm here to serve the people that I serve. You need both of those. You need the overlap of those two in order to find lasting success. And I didn't really get that until I started cake decorating. When I started cake decorating, it changed my whole mindset on customer service. I loved what I was doing. I loved cake decorating. I still love cake decorating because it's like getting paid to color all day. It's pretty awesome job. It's hard to complain about. But in cake decorating, it wasn't about here, I'm going to make this cake and somebody buy it. It was about what kind of a cake do you need? Yes, I'm going to do something I enjoy, but I'm also going to do something that you need. It was art, but it was art to satisfy the needs of others rather than art just to satisfy my own needs. Up until then, I resisted commercial art. I did it begrudgingly. I would do album covers. I would do logo design for people, but I always felt like a sellout doing it. I always felt like this is my art and you want to monetize my art and you want to pay me to use my art for you so that you can make money. That's not what it's about, man. You're not about the movement, man. I never wanted to learn the rules of art. I always wanted it to be my art, and I wanted you to be forced to buy my art rather than making my art into something that you would be happy to buy. But after starting cake decorating, I realized that I needed to start putting the needs of my customers first if I wanted to make money off of doing what I was passionate about. And I started to use my skills in a whole new way. And this translated also into logo design. It translated into websites. And I started seeing better results for my customers. When I started doing my art for them rather than for myself and just trying to get them to buy what I was doing for myself, I started getting more work. I started getting more referrals. I started getting better results for the people that were paying me. And now I get paid decent money. And I love almost all of the work that I do. I love doing it. And I really only turn down customers that I disagree with or that I don't like or that I don't like their attitude. Or if I don't agree with what they're selling, then I can turn them down. But I'm in control. I'm in control of my work. And I love 99% of the work that I do. And that really is where I wanted to be. But because I was so selfish when I started, it wasn't until I started doing my work for other people, until I became concerned with serving, that I actually was able to get to the point where I'm at now. They say you got to find the work that you love doing and then you'll never work another day in your life. I think you have to love serving others, and you may work, you might have to work, but the work will definitely be more rewarding. And the last thing that I had to get over was the fear of selling and the resentment of selling and feeling like success was a bad thing. Like I said, I was taught that if you were successful, it was because you were greedy and you needed to be stolen from. I had to get over that before I was ever able to be successful in anything that I was able to do. If you look at every successful person as a con artist or an exploiter, you're going to subconsciously prevent yourself from ever becoming a successful person. I know that sometimes successful people are con artists and exploiters, but it's not long lasting. Con artists are found out. But giving people who are focused on serving, those people are sought out. When it comes to BlastPod, everything that we do in BlastPod is about our customers, not our pockets. Every decision that we make in my own business in Podcast Blast Off, it's about building something for them, not building something for me. Same thing with Free Market Squad. I pour my heart and soul into Free Market Squad, and I do it because I love the people there. I believe in the people there. And Free Market Squad is one of the most rewarding things that I put my time into, and it's slowly becoming one of the most successful things that I've put my time into. And it's all because I approach it with the mentality of wanting to serve. So in closing, I'm just going to say, if you want to be successful at anything, focus on meeting the needs of other people rather than meeting your own needs. Focus on serving. Focus on meeting the needs of others, and your rewards will be so much greater in the long run. This is the Nathan Fraser Show. I'm out of here. Deuces.
Free minds, free markets, free people.
Are you a liberty-minded entrepreneur, small business owner, agorist, or freelancer? Do you ever struggle in your business and feel like you're all alone in the world? Can you imagine how great it would be if there were a community of freedom-loving business people just waiting to connect with you? Can you keep a secret? There is such a community. Free Market Squad is the online mastermind group for people who are passionate about freedom and success in life. Access to a mastermind group is probably one of the most valuable things you could have in your life, and membership in the Free Market Squad is absolutely free. If you have a Facebook account and you want more information on how to join the Free Market Squad, head on over to www.freemarketsquad.com. That's freemarketsquad.com.